Music of Amy Beach, played by the cellist Juliana Soltis with pianist Robert Satterlee. We heard The Pursues, or The Lullaby, from her Three Pieces, Opus 40. Welcome to Live from FM 91, conversation and performance with some of the area's finest musicians and visiting guest artists. I'm your host, Brad Cresswell, and my guest, as I mentioned, is the fabulously talented cellist Juliana Soltis. And we also heard from the equally talented pianist Robert Satterlee joining us. They've both been on this program before, but this time Juliana is going to introduce us to her recent album from Navona Records. It's called American Woman. Juliana, welcome to FM 91. And what can you tell us about this album, the concept behind it?
Well, thank you so much for having me. American Woman is the story of America's women composers, all of whom were highly acclaimed, highly accomplished during their own lifetimes, but whose music fell into near complete obscurity following their deaths. Mm. It's probably the single greatest untold story in the history of American classical music, that these women, when they were alive, were considered to stand shoulder to shoulder with their male contemporaries like Charles Ives or Aaron Copland or even that young whippersnapper, Leonard Bernstein, back in the day. And they really held their own. They were considered to be equals. They had incredible careers. They were internationally acclaimed. Their works were played all over the world. And for some reason, we've just forgotten them.
Yeah. Well, you did a lot of research for this, and I've seen your videos, you know, the videos talking about the album and the music and the process of discovery for you. I wonder if you can talk a little bit about how you found this music.
It was a process that felt more like the spreading spindles of a spider's web than it did any kind of something linear. Some of these composers, there is an outstanding body of research. Amy Beach, of course, there's wonderful, beautiful scholarship that has been done on her, or about her and about her music. But other composers, like Helen Crane, I had to piece together the story of her life from literal fragments: a birth certificate, a passport application, an emergency application to return to the U.S. when the First World War breaks out in Europe, a little tiny mention in a biographical dictionary that hasn't been in print for over 100 years. So in some cases, it was a very direct path. And in others, I was kind of, you know, grasping at every little tiny thread that I could find. I was helped by an army of librarians who devoted their time and their talents and their efforts to helping me uncover the story of these women and their music, to help me track down the scores, many of which are not in print. I have to give Robert like a little applause here on the air for reading off of some of these manuscripts, which are very difficult to decipher, but the music has never been printed.
You mentioned Helen Crane, who was a composer that I was not familiar with until I heard your album. I wonder if you can introduce the next piece. We're going to hear some of the Six Idols by Helen Crane.
We are going to hear, as you mentioned, a few selections from The Six Idols for Cello and Piano, Opus 51, by Helen Crane. Robert and I sort of cherry-picked our favorites, which are numbers 1, number 4, and number 5. And what I love about Helen Crane is how wonderfully weird her music is. She actually spends most of her career in Germany. She studies there, and then she's working there as a composer before the beginning of the First World War. So she is exposed to all of the changing musical styles that are just swirling around in Germany at that time. The intense chromaticism of late Romanticism, the tonal experimentations and distortions of the early Expressionists, and sometimes I feel like you can even hear the very beginnings of silent film music in her scores. And so it makes for a composer who sounds like no one else. And I really hope everyone will enjoy it.
This is cellist Juliana Soltis. She's joined by the pianist Robert Satterley. This is Music of Helen Crane here on Live from FM 91.
Thank you.
Music by Helen Crane, performed by cellist Juliana Soltis with Robert Satterley at the piano. We heard three of the six idols for cello and piano by Helen Crane. Juliana Soltis is my guest on Live from FM 91. And I wonder, you know, the last time that we did one of these, you were here and you brought a couple of different cellos in with you, and you were talking about the music of Johann Sebastian Bach. Now you have a different cello for this recording, I assume.
I do. This is what, you know, is commonly called a modern cello, meaning that if you go and you hear the Toledo Symphony Orchestra and you see all the cellists on stage, that is the cello that you're going to see, is a modern cello, as opposed to what I brought last time, which were two Baroque cellos, which most notably don't have that metal spike on the end, but which we call the end pin. This cello I have had the longest of any of my instruments.
Really?
My late grandparents actually bought it for me. And I don't know if I will ever be able to sell it, because it's very special to me for a number of reasons.
Not just a sentimental value.
Yeah. You know, my grandparents bought it for me. They're no longer with us. But also the maker of the cello, a man named Harold Hazlett, lived across the ravine from me where I grew up in South Charleston, West Virginia. And Harold was just the kindest, sweetest person. And he used to let me sit there for hours while he would work on cellos or while he would make adjustments to my cellos. And I have to say, like, you know, like most of us, my teenage years were not exactly a smooth ride. There were some bumps. Welcome to the club. But, you know, having somebody like that in my life who took me very seriously and who took my music making very seriously and would just let me hang and talk about music and would talk to me about what he was doing with the cellos is, you know, an experience and a memory that I still very much treasure.
And you mentioned that you have a cello being built for you, is that right?
That's true. I have a new instrument that is being built for me. I think it might be done somewhere around Valentine's Day, which would just be so perfect. It's being made by Christopher Jacoby in, I always say Washington, D.C., but the shop is actually in Tacoma Park, Maryland. You know, you'd sort of loop everything in there to D.C. And I'm very excited. It's going to be a very striking instrument. I don't know how I did this, but I managed to convince Chris to carve the scroll, that top curling part of the instrument, into a fox's head.
What is the significance of using a fox?
I was just an animal he and I alighted on together. I guess maybe it's my like, you know, spirit animal. The fox, a little wily.
Yeah, very good cute. Answer. There you go. Crazy like a fox.
Crazy like a fox.
Indeed. Now, I want to ask you, you are one of the most proactive performers I know. I mean, you're on tour to different radio stations and performances. I wonder if you can talk a little bit about being a young performer and how you're making your career.
You know, in the age of streaming, people seem to have discounted the importance of public radio. But I grew up in a very rural state. You know, it's much like Ohio. You have some cities, but a lot of it is still rural. And my parents did a fantastic job providing for the three of us. I have an older sister and a younger brother. But things like buying CDs was, you know, there was not a lot of money for that. So, you know, you get maybe one at Christmas, one for a birthday. And I still have all of them because they're all, you know, special to me. But the way that I discovered all of the wonderful worlds, the wonderful sounds of classical music was by turning on my public radio station. And I could hear everything. I could hear the New York Philharmonic. I could hear an old recording of Toscanini. I could hear a George Crumb piece played by the Turtle Island String Quartet. Everything and anything was right there for me. And, you know, this little kid growing up in West Virginia. And I feel that if you're going to make a recording, it is so important to take that time and to take that effort to go out, to share it to people, share it with people, to give them a reason why they should care about this music. because I feel we should care about these composers, and not just because they're women, or not just because they're women of color, but because these are our American composers, and this is our American music. And Americans historically have had a bit of an inferiority complex about our classical music. You know, we can't possibly be as good as the European big boys, right? Except that American composers are writing fantastic music, and it's just as diverse as we are. You can find, you know, if you're looking for a composer who looks like you or shares your life experiences, there's one out there. You just have to go find them and listen to their music. So hopefully in doing all of this, I am giving something back.
Well, your efforts definitely are our reward in this album, American Woman. And I wonder if you can give an introduction. We have one more piece left for you to play, and I wonder if you can introduce us to Florence Price.
Florence Price is a name that many of your listeners may recognize. In recent years, there was a cache of her compositions discovered in a home in Oak Park, Illinois, just outside Chicago, which was once her summer home. The truth, though, is that serious scholarship about Florence Price has been ongoing for decades as people have tried to restore her to her place in the American musical pantheon, because the truth is that she was one of the most prolific composers of the Depression era. I mean, she's right up there with Gershwin and all the big boys in terms of the amount of music that she is writing and the amount of attention that she's getting. Once you start looking for Florence Price, oh my gosh, her name is suddenly everywhere. She was not an unknown. And what I love about her music is that she said she was a citizen of two musical worlds. Mm-hmm. You know, one that's grounded in this European art music tradition, and one that's shaped by the Black American musical traditions that are shaping her life. So spirituals and the juba dance rhythms, and she's incorporating all of these things into this European music that she knows, that she has studied, and she's creating a language that's really all her own, and again, very uniquely American.
Juliana Soltis talking about Florence Price. We have one more piece for you. This is one of her best-known works. It's called Adoration, as arranged for cello and piano. Juliana Soltis, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your insights for us, and best of luck with this new album. And I'm glad we were able to share it.
Thank you so much, Brad. It's really been wonderful to share this with your listeners. Thank you.
That's a piece called Adoration by Florence Price, performed in our studio by pianist Robert Satterlee and cellist Juliana Soltis. My thanks to both of them. You've been listening to Live from FM91. The broadcast engineer for our program was Logan Cooney. I'm your host and producer, Brad Cresswell. Thanks for joining us today here on your public radio station, FM91.